Look at your neighbor, say the devil is a liar. It's one of them songs you're gonna ride down the street in the summer. You're gonna open the sunroof and roll your windows down so you can raise up this song. I want you to go home singing it tonight. Listen. Say the devil is a liar.
Say the devil is a liar.
What the Lord has for me.
What the Lord has for me.
Say the devil is a liar.
Say the devil is a liar.
And the truth made me free.
But the truth made me free.
Said I'm gonna run on and see what the end's gonna be.
See what the end's gonna be.
I'm gonna hold on, yeah, till I get my victory. Say the devil is a lie.
Say the devil is.
What the Lord has is for me.
What the Lord has is for me.
Said the devil is a liar.
Said the devil is a liar.
So the truth made me free.
But the truth made me free.
Listen, so I'm gonna stay here. Listen, y'all, I refuse to be run away.
Refuse to be run away.
I'm gonna wait here. And I'ma praise him every day. Hey, y'all say, say the devil is a liar.
Say, say the devil is a liar.
What the Lord has is for me.
What the Lord has
right here, y'all say. Give it to me, darling. I want y'all to say this. And the truth has made me free. Y'all got it? Y'all got it? Let me hear you, church, one more time. Say, and the truth has made me free. Oh. You got it, Joe? Come on, one more time. Say, and the truth has made me set free.
The truth has made me free. But I tell you, the thing about the truth is the truth hurts, but the truth will set you free. But also the truth will lead you and guide you in the right direction. Welcome, family, tonight to Let's Talk About It. Yes, we are dedicated to having real talk, dealing with real issues while finding achievable, godly solutions. And yes, our team will explore issues relevant to our daily walk from both a male and a female perspective. Number one, we will seek the truth without compromising the word of God. Number two, we will speak the truth only from biblical perspectives. Number three, we are calling all men and women of truth to join the discussion and let's break the chains of our past. Bring your real voice, not that fake voice, not that church voice, that voice everybody wants to hear. Bring your real voice, your real issues, and your real listening heart as we discover the truth now. Oh, it's time to be set free by the truth here on the Now Network. Let's talk about it. That's hosted by myself and Pastor V. You guys know her as Valoris Brooks, but Pastor V. We are excited tonight to continue to go to the next level and to challenge one another. It's just not, I don't think, a forum for this broadcast to be preached to be preached at, but to be challenged to say, what am I going to really do better than I used to do? Oh, you know the movement we have here of that I will do better now, but are you doing better now? Are you constantly going to another level? Are you willing to talk about it tonight to say, because I know me, once I talk about it, excuse me, y'all, once I talk about it, then I must be willing to listen. Once I open up, I must be willing to discover and to explore the real truth of God. Yes, tonight. On Let's Talk About It, we are going to go to another level that you've never been before. This is really our launching broadcast. I want to ask all our partners to invite someone to go on the event page, to tell someone, to remind someone. We sent out all of the blast and we've sent out all of the reminders, but we want everyone here to invite one, to remind one, and say we are live on the air right now here on the Now Network with Let's Talk About It. Without any further ado, let me bring in my co-host. Or let's call her. Let's switch it around because I was the host last session. Tonight, let me bring in our host of Let's Talk About It, Pastor V, along with myself, the co-host, Pastor E. Good evening, woman of God. How are you?
Good evening, Pastor E. I am awesome and just doing wonderful. It's 88 degrees here in Milwaukee. Finally, some sunshine so I can come up out my little hiding shell. So I am definitely excited, but I'm more excited to be on this broadcast. Listen, last time we were on this broadcast, we had such a great time together. We talked about so much that I got my pen and paper in hand to take notes on tonight.
As we collaborate, look, I have a whole new journal, I build a journal for every broadcast, but I have a whole new journal for tonight that I'm wanting God to really speak into my life because I know this is about me. I'm not trying to be selfish to anybody out there, Pastor V, but tonight in our sessions of really discussing and really being true, I'm trying to find me better.
Right, right. And I think that I'm hoping that our listeners understand that, like you said at the beginning, we're not here to preach to. We're trying to give, you know, everyone a better understanding of and a new outlook on life situations with the results of it being your deliverance and your new destiny. And again, we're also preaching to ourselves. I mean, you and I, we stay real and relevant. When we talk about, we're talking about real-time issues that you and I are dealing with. Now, we may have dealt with it, but we ain't that far removed from it either that we don't understand it. So I hope they understand that we're not those type of preachers.
And look, wait a minute. And not so far that it might not be right on my shoulder that I'm steadily resisting and I'm steadily pressing towards the mark of what God has called every day. You know, I hope we can be real tonight as we start to really be transparent here on this broadcast of Let's Talk About It. But every day is a battle. Every day there's something coming up saying, take the easy route. There's something else that comes up and says, just go off. There's something else that comes up and says, nobody will know. Well, I tell you, those are the battles that I fight daily because I'm not trying to please man. I'm trying to please God, and it's not easy.
Right. Because I hear you, because like, you know, earlier – one in my quiet time before the broadcast, it was a struggle and a battle because sometimes I hear, you know, you, be quiet. You know, why don't you just quit? Why you keep even trying? Ain't nobody listening to you. How they listening to you in your own struggle? You know what I'm saying? So you, like you said, it's a daily struggle. It's not all, we're not always talking about drugs and alcohol and sex and all that. We're talking about that mind. We're talking about those things that want to enter into us to control us so we don't be effective for the kingdom. We have to make sure that we stay on the battlefield to fight those things to be able to do broadcasts like this so somebody else will understand the struggles and battles they're going through as well.
Come on now. That's what it's, that makes it so much more relevant is that it's not about just me. It's not just about you. It's about all of us trying to reach the point. You know, the Bible says is that God is coming back for a church of one. In that church of one, it says without spot nor blemish. Mm-hmm. But if we as leaders aren't willing to be transparent enough that those that are trying and seeking God can't feel equal and with the same rights, what are we doing? What sermons are we preaching? I mean, come on. I mean, is it about me or is it about the people? I know Jesus came that all could have life and have life more abundantly, but when I study him and as we're talking about it, it was never about him. It was always about somebody else.
So what you're saying is you seem to be talking about what I was talking about earlier this week, and that's called that exaggeration spirit. Now, I don't know if that's the proper name for it, and I'm just calling it what I see it, which is the exaggeration spirit, and it's coming out in the pulpit, which is one of what I mean by that. So people say, okay, what you mean by exaggeration spirit? Never heard that. What's happening is that people are making up stories to make themselves more than who they are, or making the story sound worse than what it is in order to get glorified praise or sympathetic attention.
Oh, come on.
And that's coming out of the pulpit. Because what happens is that, and I think what people also forgot, that there are some of us that do have the spirit of discernment. And we do have prayer in our life that it will be revealed. But what's happening is preachers in the pulpit are pulling on people's emotions with this exaggeration spirit. And one part that I'm finding out about the exaggeration spirit, Pastor E, is they are stealing other people's sermons and not giving them credit and making it seem like they had the new revelation.
Ooh, girl, you will start some stuff tonight.
You did get a revelation, but you got the revelation by way of T.D. Jakes or Pastor E. Which takes nothing from you. If I'm a preacher and Pastor E preaches something that then drops in my spirit and give me new revelation and give me this new energy, and I come before the people and I say, you know what, I heard Pastor E, he was preaching this and he said this and it dropped in my spirit this way, and you know, God spoke to me, and there's nothing wrong with me giving you the credit for where the revelation came from.
That's
and
right.
We have these people. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing. I mean, but you do have those people that will hitchhike and that will jump on and will not give any acknowledgement that, you know what, and this is the biggest part, because this is what the Holy Spirit dropped when you said that, is that we're all teachable. I don't need nobody to preach to me. And you ain't got no word for me. Yes, we do. We are all teachable.
And one thing that what it's doing is it's wanting to attract and trap people. You're doing it to attract the people, and you continue to keep doing it to trap the people. And then, therefore, again, we get high on words and not high in the actual true spirit of God. And that's where the true deliverance comes from, is in the spirit of God. It's not coming from my words. If my words are anointed by God, then the spirit will move upon my words and upon your life for you to get the deliverance. But if there's no connection and there's no God and you're just doing all this glorified preaching, that's why the people are staying the same, Pastor E.
Come on now. Ooh, we are not going anywhere. I think that one of the things that it was one word that you mentioned, spirits. I don't think that we really get so deep into it, even as leaders, to understand that spirits travel, spirits attack, spirits hitchhike. And when you're not protected, and when you're not aware that spirits are here only for the consumption to control, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Oh, if somebody want to check me, Ephesians 6, read the whole chapter and find it. But against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in heavenly places. See, some places sound like God because they clap the right way. They sing the right way. But is it really God? That goes back to me saying, I got to know the Spirit by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. That starts with me. I have to know God one-on-one. I have to know that when, you know, you said this earlier, these two dynamic spirits connecting. That wasn't us individually. That was the Spirit of God confirming when we both say yes. It ain't about me. It's not about my, you know, my agenda, but it's about God's agenda that he can really use this opportunity here on Friday nights, bi-weekly. I believe it's going to go weekly. I know God is going to do some great things, but for the time that he uses us, we can really be transparent enough to say, do you hear God speaking to you?
Right.
Can we just share how he's dealing with us? And then you say, you know what? I had that same voice, but I didn't know how to recognize it. It goes back to knowing God one-on-one.
And one thing that you and I hope people are like now on the edge of their seats, like, okay, what are they going to talk about when they talk about spirits? And what people need to understand, that spirits just don't come by you sleeping or laying with somebody. Okay.
Ooh.
And it comes by, understand this. Now hear this, hear me good. And Pastor E will clean it up because, you know, I talk one way. He cleans it up for me. Words are seeds that can birth spirits. Because by your word, by my word, Pastor E, I can either cast out the spirit out of you or I can plant the spirit in you. And if you are around individuals who are not operating under the Spirit of God, and there's no casting out going on nowhere around, then therefore now those seeds are being planted in you. And once the seed is planted in you, it becomes a thought within you that then has to either birth out an action or a reaction.
Come on now.
And understand
what
this.
You mean?
Once you take the thought...
I got to clean up nothing there. Well, let's keep that real. What you give your attention to, it will tear your butt up.
Listen, once you allow the thought, check this out, to become the action or the reaction, you have now had a taste of it. And therefore, it now has dominion to present that taste again to you at any point in time. And you wonder why, because again, some things can lay dormant and don't have to always be continuously acting in your life. All it needed is one time entry, one time action or reaction. It can go ahead and go to sleep for about 2, 4, 5, 12 years. It don't have to introduce itself again until it's like, sounds like a good opportunity for me to reintroduce myself in this situation.
And all you have to do is take one break that you don't need to be on
one
point.
One break.
All you have to do is
one
take
day
one
you don't pray.
Day off.
One day you don't
say
you before
one
the Lord.
Day off,
one
and then all of a sudden
one
all
day.
Hell breaks loose.
I know. Y'all raise your hands if anybody had that kind of day where all hell broke loose.
Oh,
sometimes you have to
there.
Go back and then check yourself and say, what was the entry point to my day being off like this?
Come on. What did
was
I
it,
do
did
right?
I wake up? Did I wake up mad? Did I argue with my husband? Did I fuss with my kids? Did I, you know what I'm saying? What was the entry point that started all that? And then you have to go back and say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't put you. Most of the time, it's not because we didn't put God first, because we're waking up late, got to run out, got to get the kids. We didn't put God first. Then you need to stop and command and reset your day to the Spirit of God and not the spirit of discord. You have the power to do that. You think, okay, well, the day started at 6 o'clock when the alarm went off. No, the day starts whenever you want that day to start.
You just have
to be ready to command it.
That's right. That's right. We encourage the mindset. You remember, it's about the mind. The mindset to wake up in your mind. You have to wake up already geared to abide in him. You have to get up in your thinking, knowing that you want God's thoughts. You got to move in your purpose that you tell somebody else. But I told you in the green room that I'm launching something that God has given me, and I'm going to share it tonight. I want to ask everybody a question out there. So I'm asking myself this question. If it resonates with you, I pray that you say, wow. This is not for unbelievers. This is for believers, those that are here every week, every broadcast, every episode. But the question that was delivered to me about 30 days ago when God said, shut down, shut your mouth, don't preach right now, because I'm finna give you a word that's going to even challenge you. And here is the message for the rest of the year of 2018. What made you think God was cool with that? see, sometimes we got to ask ourselves, you know, in your spirit before you even do it, that God is not good with that. If you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, oh my
That's
God,
it.
I'm about to spin in my
it.
Chair up in here. That's the first time I've shared this nationally on the broadcast. But mm-hmm. what made you, and I'm not pointing a finger because I'm talking to myself,
mm-hmm.
but when you
mm-hmm.
ask yourself when you're doing something, the first thing you should say is, what, is God cool with that? But if you do it, you should now ask yourself to say, what made you think God was cool with that fornication? What made you think God was cool with lying, cheating? You know God ain't, he don't roll like that.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all gonna, I told you I'm going to lose some listeners tonight, but that's okay.
That
but
is
I'm challenging some folks to really get up, not just coach yourself, but I'm asking some people to really challenge yourself to say, what really made you feel God was cool with that? You know, deep in your spirit that God is not happy.
Right.
Your
right.
attitude. Not what people see. I'm talking about in that one-on-one four-wall room when you doing you that nobody knows. What made you
right.
feel God was okay with that?
Ooh,
can we get to that point?
Mm.
Oh, my God.
That's deep.
Challenge yourself and even ask yourself,
that's deep.
What made you feel God was cool with that? That started a woman of God. I was talking to this young man. And he was telling me about all his transgressions and all that. He said, man, how can I get God to forgive me? And I said, well, first of all, God already has forgiven you. Everything God has done is finished and completed.
Mm-hmm.
But when are we going to get to point to saying, I need to be acceptable to God, not God acceptable to me? You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, you said it. Don't want to get up when God calls you. You waiting for the natural alarm clock. Don't want to pray for somebody. You waiting for somebody to call you and ask for prayer. Don't want to give somebody because you want it to be on TV and recognized. See. When you know that God is who we're called to and who he's holding us accountable to, then I know that before I do anything, I first of all say, is God cool with that?
Right.
Would God be happy? Go ahead. I got to back off. I haven't launched it yet, but I just gave y'all a little taste, but I'm going to preach hard on this for 6 months. What made you
think
God
comes
was
to mind? What comes to mind when you said that is this. The reason why a lot of us, most of us, all of us, self-included and whatever, is because we have to understand the difference between relationship with God and believing in God. Because you get a lot of people to say, I believe God, but do you have a relationship? Because now let's look at it naturally. If naturally I have a relationship with my spouse, therefore I know my spouse inside and out. I know what they like and what they don't like. I know that my action is not going, they're not going to be cool with that because I know them. That's why people are, think God is, you know what I'm saying, like you asked the question, is because you don't know him. You don't have a relationship with him to know already that he's not cool with that.
Come on now.
And the way that you get that relationship is that you got to be intimate with him. You can't treat God like you treat your other relationships. You can't treat God as far like you might treat your spouse. Some people don't treat their spouse good. And be like, oh, well, he just accept that. That's just how I am. You know, this, whatever. I don't care what he's saying, whatever. No, that's not God, boo. That, no. Mr. Man ain't, Mrs. Woman ain't God. God ain't cool with that. You don't know that because you don't know him to know that he ain't. Good question.
Oh, my God. Hey, look. The thing of it is that we can preach it all day long, and I'm not preaching to nobody because this is really something that
right.
he asked that was presented to me. It wasn't for me to build mm-hmm. this new push to
mm-hmm.
say, take the network there. He said, no, I'm pushing you.
Right.
That you need to go higher. He said, you're doing a good job. He patted me on the back, Pastor V. He even laid his hands on my head and gave me the anointing, but he said, you can still do better.
But you can always
And in that question, I had to say, even those thoughts when I'm driving down the street by myself, and even though it don't come out, the thought, why am I letting my thoughts still be uncool with God?
Come on.
I can do better. And that's what he said to me. He said, I'm really proud of you. You are way far from what you used to be. You're definitely doing what I want you to be, but you're still not where you need to be because you can do better.
It's interesting that you said that because even though I posted it today, but a couple of days ago, I asked God, I said, Lord, before I was even birthed and took my first breath, you already had a plan and the design for me and a purpose for me. I really want to know, am I really living that purpose that you really have for me before the foundation of the world? Or did I jack that up and mess that up myself?
Oh, Jesus.
You understand what I'm saying? There was an original plan. And most people say, well, that's in God's plan. Was it really in God's plan? Or did you alter his course and he had to then reroute you and everything? Are you really on the original? I'm talking about before the foundation of the earth design that he had before he even introduced you to the world. Are you on that plan?
That plan.
So I'm with you when you say, God, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you're doing good, girl. I love you. Do you really think that you in the area that I really designed for you? Is this where you really thought that you should be? I was like, wow.
Ooh,
I'm
going to blow somebody up on this one. I'm going to blow this one up here. But look. You know, it says that we're supposed to be holy and acceptable in his sight. And we just get in his presence. Have we really looked at the point to say, I need to do some things to be acceptable in his sight? You know, we always like, and I preach this a lot, Pastor V, you know, we always, oh, I trust you, Lord. And I used to sing that song. I loved it by Donnie McCurpin. I will trust you, Lord. But what about, do you trust me, Lord?
Yes.
Can you trust me not to blow up the money when you bless me because it's all over me? I know that you want to prosper me. I know you want to grow me. But the reason why I'm not where I am is because I'm still not fully trustworthy.
And men and women of God that are listening, he said something powerful because I also listen, we talk about, you know what I'm saying, you know, God loves you. He's in love with you. He just don't love you. He's in love with you. And then, like we said, well, you got to believe God. God also believes in you. Trust God. God also trusts you. Understand that just like any relationship, Pastor E, I trust you, you trust me. It's a two-way thing. Why do
That's
we
right.
think that God does not reciprocate? You know what I'm saying? He don't reciprocate like we give, though. Thank God he don't do that. But he also believes in you, man and woman of God. He also trusts you, man and woman God. That's where you have to get to like, man, God, you love me like that? You believe in me like that, that I can do that? You believe in me that I can go back to school? You believe in me that I can open up that business? You trust me to raise these kids? You trust me that you do that? Man, God, you like that? Yes, he is.
You favor me like that?
Yes. That's what will start building us up to the wanting to be acceptable, because you reciprocate back to me what I reciprocate to you. So now I want to be acceptable, just like we want to be acceptable every morning when we get up, especially on Sunday morning when we get up. We want to put on the finest clothes and got our makeup on fleek and everything. You want to be acceptable to people, but when are you going to start being acceptable to God?
Yes, without the natural stuff. See, you can fix it up on the outside and people say you're doing good, but what are you doing on the inside that making God say, you know what? Ooh, I see you. I recognize you. Come on in. Come on, enter in. You know, see, I think we take God for so granted, woman of God.
Yeah.
Because he's so gracious and he's so loving and so forgiving that we take him for granted. But I've gotten to a point where I know I'm really not worthy to be in his presence. I remember the story when Moses first went into the first encounter with the bush. He was 40, but he left there 50, but he looked 70. Because we don't have the capabilities flesh-wise to even be in the presence of God. Do you know, even in the temples, when the prophets and the priests were in charge of relating with God, if they were unholy on the same ground with God, they died. Most of us think we so cool with God that, you know, we need to get back to a level of respect with God, that he is the Almighty, that I am one of those knees that will bow, and I'm one of those tongues that is confessing, and that I know that I'm not worthy of him. See, when we start to respect God again, ooh, let's talk about it. Then we can really understand how God is moving in my life, because it's not because of anything I did. It's just because he's great.
Right. Okay. So now what I'm going to do, because I hear the people, I hear a few people out there in broadcast land. What you said was powerful. What I also want to add to, like you said, we take God for granted. But what I'm finding out, Pastor E, and even for myself, so I'm going to put myself out here like this. What I found out was I was treating God. I didn't have the full reverence and respect for God because I kept hearing that God the Father, God is our Father, God the Father, God is our Father. And therefore, I compared God to the only natural thing that I had of a father, which wasn't one.
Preach.
So therefore, I did not have respect. I did not know how to reverence. I did not know how to love unconditionally. I did not know how to do all that, because if you keep saying the word father, and all I can do is put this picture in my mind of what a father naturally is, if he was there or was not there, and now you want me to worship God as the father, I don't know how to separate the two. So
yes,
it
that's
took
right.
me a long time, because of having an absent father, to trust and believe that when I made a mistake, that God wasn't going to run out on me. It took a long time for me to accept the love that he truly had for me when I didn't know had that from my father, and my father ditched out on me. So what we have to teach as leaders is try to get people to what's the word I'm trying to say? Try to break the habit of how they look at their natural father and don't view God that way.
Come on now. See, we always compare with words. You said this earlier. See, there's power in the word, in whether it's life or death, whether it's spirit
right.
or whether it's flesh. And when we learn physical words, we always compare to that. That's somebody you help somebody tonight, because that's why they ain't been believing in God fully. Because every time you say father, they think about that daddy, that father that didn't do them right, the father that left them or betrayed them. But let me tell you, the father that we're talking about tonight will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But you have
right.
to know him on your own. I'm telling everybody out there.
Yes.
If you are following God because of some man or because of some woman, stop where you're at right now. I'm not saying that man and woman is not anointed for themselves, But God is calling all of us to know him as his own children, as our personal Lord and Savior. You have to know him one-on-one. You have to know his language. You have to know his characteristics. You have to know his spirit, because you know the spirit by the spirit. Oh, we talking about it tonight? I hear the broadcast land out there saying, we ain't even going to dial one because you guys are on fire tonight.
But we really, like I said, we really want to help somebody, and I hope that all of our points is helping you to understand who God is and who he's calling you to be individually. Because we talk about church, the word church. God, you are his individual church. He wants you without a spot or a wrinkle. He wants to love on you. You are his bride. You individually
are
his bride. You are the one that he loves. You're the one that he's so in love with. You're the one that he's giving attention to. I love God's attention. You understand? Man won't give me attention like God give me attention. I am spoiled by God. That, you know what I'm saying? But again, it's having that relationship, because you're like, oh, well, I'm 1 in 7 billion in the world. God ain't thinking about me. Yes, he is, baby. I mean, yes, he is. He's thinking about you right now. He's there
right
with
now,
you right now.
Right now. Oh, my God. And he is available for each and every
right
one
now.
Of us. And that's how big God is. He can take care of all of us at once. One word, it is good. One word is fixed. But do you believe that he can do it?
Right.
And that's the point of you now. I want to just kind of go a little spiritual on us tonight, because we're talking about a really spiritual walk. And as I learned, Pastor V, in my walk, first of all, I had to know Jesus. And I studied Jesus. And then he sent me to Paul, because Paul gave us some illustrations of dealing with spirit and dealing with flesh. If you turn your Bibles with me tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 10, I'll read these three verses. We're going to open up the lines. Well, I'm going to give Pastor V an opportunity to comment on this, but then we're going to open up the lines for you. We want to hear from you. This is Let's Talk About It for you, just like it is for us. We hope you heard some encouraging things, because I know I got notes for the next session, and I'm ready to do that. But watch what the Word of God says, and Paul being transparent. Verse 7, it says, "And least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he says to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, I am strong." See, don't get scared of that thorn. Don't think that you're not called by God because you have that same struggle. Don't think that you're ungodly because you're dealing with that situation. But the difference is when you shift, when you change over and understand that you're going to go through, you are going to be challenged. As a matter of fact, when I got saved, it got worse. Stuff that I couldn't get for free came for free. People that wouldn't give me nothing gave me something when I got saved. And I had to really, really take a stand and say, you know what? That's distraction. Those are the things trying to take me away. But when I know this one part where Jesus said, he says, verse 9, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you." Make it personal tonight, family. Know that all of the things that we're talking about, that we've touched in some subjects that you're saying, well, how did they know I'm going through this? How did they know that they're talking about me? We didn't. We're talking about ourselves. But I know the victory comes when I know his grace, which doesn't run out. His grace that nobody can take away from you. His grace that is still sufficient for you. You can do it. Go to the next level. You can do it. Don't give up. You can do it, Pastor V.
Listen, this scripture right here, the one that you just said, I'm trying to read it by eyes. It says, "So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness." That's transparency, y'all. That's the transparency that we've been talking about and that Pastor E and I are talking about, is that we're not boasting about the actual sin or the struggle. What we're doing is we're saying, listen, because this test and this struggle has come upon me, I'm going to share it with you, testify about it, explain to you about it, because I want you to watch God how he bring me out of it. Because Paul said, listen, I'm not doing this for my glory. I'm doing it for his glory so that he gets the glory. Because he said, listen, just go through your test and trial. Do how I tell you to do. Stay on course. Fight the fight and watch how I bring you out. I can tell you, Pastor E, when I said, listen, I'm about to go in. I'm about to throw something. I went to God just like Paul for the struggle that I said, listen, God, why did I get this struggle? You could have gave me, could I have picked anything else, but you gave me this struggle of the sexual habit that I have to continue to keep fighting every single day. Why did I get that one?
Ooh,
and I tell you, Pastor E, because he keeps getting the victory out of my life through that struggle, because guess what? I ain't the only one. Paul even said, there's no sin that's not common to any of y'all. Oh, listen, he said, we all once did. So guess what? I ain't the only one. So, Gloris, I need you to fight this fight so you can reach the other person that's fighting the same fight.
You know what? See, hold on. Now, you just started something, because that's the point. People don't want to admit that I'm holy. I've been celibate. Celibacy ain't easy. Let me tell you,
especially when
you
didn't start off that way. I didn't start off that way.
Celibacy ain't easy. It's a every minute struggle for me. I'm going to put it out there. We being transparent here tonight on Let's Talk About It. Every minute.
I've been married from 1994 to 2014. I've been married from 1994 to 2014. You count up the number of years and then tell me it's been easy.
Come on now. See, it's not easy, but I'll tell you one thing. We go right back to that scripture. He says, for my grace is sufficient for you. You can do it. But it's not going to take away the struggle. It's not going to take away, you know, Pastor B, it's a lot of people think, well, I'm saved now. I'm not going to have that. Yes, you are. It's going to get worse. Now the enemy has a bullseye on your head. Now he has a reason to come after you. Because when I was in the world, Pastor B, it wasn't the devil doing nothing to me. That was me killing myself. You know, we all say the devil made me do it. No, it wasn't. That was me. I was doing all those things to myself, and I was using him as an excuse that it wouldn't come back on me, but it came back when I had to confess my sins to the Lord, when I had to really say, you know what, today is the day that you have made. Let me rejoice in it and be glad that I'm saved and I am not perfect. I don't have it all together. I got a word. I got a revelation. You use me in your anointing, but guess what? I am still imperfect, and I need you daily.
Yes,
to keep me strong.
Yes.
Ooh, my
and
God.
I tell the ladies all the time, ladies, don't fall for the Ishmaels. Isaac is coming. But I promise you, it's going to be a whole lot of Ishmaels that come through.
Let's not get into those folks' stories of the Bible, because I got one for y'all. We're going to talk about it on Let's Talk Jesus, especially because it's really important, Pastor B, that we really discover the Adam and Eve syndromes and all of the Boaz stories and the situations that we as Christians really know some things weren't done in order. Even though God got the glory, even back then, some things were not done in righteousness and in holiness. God still was God, because he is that.
Right.
But we started this, and we're going to, I pray that we can continue this spiritual conversation. I don't want a title on it, because we could have really said the spirit in you and how spirits hitchhike. And no, let's just talk about the power of spirits for the next couple of sessions, because and we didn't get deep into this, but don't you know, just by you hanging around certain people, their spirits come on. Yeah, you go to church, you go to Bible study, you pray, you tithe, you give, you treat people right, but you still got a bad attitude. That's because you hang around people with a wrong attitude.
That's right. I put it like this. Just you, as they say, you hang around for 10 minutes somebody that cuss, all of a sudden the cuss word's gonna be in your head. You gonna cuss. You can have on $500 perfume. Go stand next to somebody that's a little bit tart and funky. You gonna walk away smelling tart and funky.
Come on now.
I'm sorry. You cannot be in the same grouping with other people that have negative, bad spirits, and it does not transfer to you. You can act like you all holy and safe and sophisticated if you want to, but hang around them long enough, you're gonna pick up their spirit.
Again,
you have to understand that you're the one that should change any atmosphere you go in.
You remember the first question I said? The question I proposed to everybody is that what made you feel God was going over there? What made you feel God was cool with you even answering that phone call? You knew he told you, don't talk to that person no more. They ain't nothing but negative. They ain't nothing but trying to hurt you. What made you think God was cool with you answering or going there or doing this or watch this, getting involved in something that you know he ain't happy with?
Right.
We're going to open
what
up the lines.
What made you think God was cool with
him? We went over our little discussion time because we always want to give our callers the time. But the anointing is the anointing. We have three callers waiting right now to get into the conversation.
Ahead.
Area code 251, last four, 2556. You're live on Let's Talk About It with myself and Pastor V. Good evening.
Hey, Pastor, how you doing?
Bless. How are you, Apostle?
Tell you back, man. I'm blessed. Oh, man. How you doing, First Lady? How you doing, Apostle?
I'm wonderful. God bless you, sir.
And I call you exactly what I see for you to be. I was listening.
Wow.
And I'm talking about some deep conversation. Not only that, the Bible says, confess our sins one to another, even unto God, reason your hands and your heart are clean, be able to move in the Holy Ghost the way you're moving right now. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Do we ever ask him what is the way, or do we ever just assume this is the way because of the way man say this is the way? We're led by the spirit to try the word, by the word to see that whether that word is of God or not, to try to see whether the spirit is of God or not. You said, why do I fall under this? Why do I carry this cross called proclivity of sin, that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan to buffet me, to humble me, that I may not be exalted by man nor exalt myself by man? Because the great anointing that's been poured in you. Moses' mistake was he did not have a thorn in the flesh, and he exalted himself above God and said, was it I who had to smite the rock? And he smite the rock, and they say, look what Moses did. He did what God did, and he took the glory and got punished. But God bless you to put a thorn in your flesh, for what man can judge you? For those that abide in Christ, that's the body of Christ that draws us into Christ, that there's no sin that condemns us, for we are made whole in his image, in his mindset. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Awesome.
So
thank you.
No. The fire has been boiling in his gut ever since he got on the broadcast. He's been messaging me, bro, open the lines. And the fire has went forward. You see it coming out now. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Yes,
proclivity
God.
Of sin. He says there's no sin there, but understand you're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Whatever a man thinketh, so is he. But those that was crucified with him, behold, look at the evidence of the crucifixion of the marks that you was crucified by. For look how they look at the crucifixion of the marks that's upon your body and judge you of the things that you died for. But then for us that was born in divinity, sure, we was raised with him in the resurrection. That is the new birth of divinity. I wasn't born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That died on the cross. Look at the wounds of my flesh. But I was born in divinity when I was resurrected with him. Boy, one must be born again. Ooh, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Do we walk after the flesh or do we walk after the spirit to operate through the flesh? Am I talking to you or am I talking to the angel that accompanied you or am I talking to the demon that put affliction upon you? For a man is only a puppet, but it's the puppeteer who he lends his members over to, he that controls that puppet that operates through you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. He says, do you know what you're reading? For what you read is what you see. For what you see is what you hear. And what you hear is what you get. And that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you understand it, what they read? How do you understand unless a teacher teach that has been sent by God, who give him the wisdom to teach he that seek the understanding of that he read? The rightly divided word. Do you not understand my speech? That is the dialect of Christ. That is
yes.
The separation of the wheat and the tares. For it was the language, and I would bring this nation back into one before Babylon, and that language is scattered. They all was one mind with one God, with one Christ that abide in them. For they knew he that created them, but not he who made them, by he that was created. For God called you by name, and it was through Christ that made all things that was created in heaven, as Christ made it on earth, and that was made on earth, was first created by the Father God in heaven. You said, what about the Father? Father, and I think about the image of the fleshly Father. For the fleshly Father is for that of the flesh, for the flesh cannot comprehend the light, and the light that abides in you is the Father. So I say, my Father God, who's also Paracletus, who's also my Comforter, who's also my Advocate, who's also my Redeemer, who's also the Righteous Judge. I'm not talking about the things of the flesh. I'm speaking of the things of the Spirit that operate through the things of the flesh that oppress the prophets in the name of Jesus. So I go into a higher calling, even a higher calling. I call out in the name of Jesus, and in that name he abided me, and I in him, and he draws me into him and took me before the Father in him, and I in him, for me and my Father is one. Whatever I ask my Father, so shall I give he that abide in me, in heaven as it is on earth. Do you know how to work your faith?
Amen.
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 Bless you, brother. Hey, we're going to bring you on. Yes. And we're going to set up the next broadcast. We're going to bring you on, Apostle, and let you get the opportunity to come in and talk about it with us here on the network. But bless you, man of God. We got
only
several
if
other
this
calls.
Prophet yes. can join with me, only if she and you and whoever can build. For every man is deemed to his labor, for his measurement, not off another man's measurement. But for we build off the measurement that's given to us by God, but we do not go by the measurement built by others. Only if she will accompany me on this journey, and we shall glory to God and pull those up into glory with God, that they also may receive this word of God. And we'll
Amen.
Be, that's going to be a good day.
He will definitely do
that's
that.
Right.
He will definitely.
That's right.
Pastor, you got that? You got his number
yeah.
and everything?
Oh, I got that. Yes, I got that. We're going to make sure we keep that journalized. And we're going to bring
Amen.
In Apostle to come back on one of our broadcasts. Minister Terry, mm-hmm. you are live on Let's Talk About It with myself and Pastor V.
Good evening, Pastor V. Pastor E, mm-hmm. I tell you. I'm listening. I'm over here. I'm taking notes because, you know, I've listened to Pastor E. You were saying, what makes you think that God is cool with that? Yeah, we have to question ourselves about a lot of things we do in our daily walk. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we know he's in agreement. We're in agreement with him. Amen. But I tell you, I love what you said to Pastor B. You said when all hell breaks loose somewhere, we a lot in, so glory be to God. And I'm just listening to you guys here because this discussion, you guys have so many topics here. Yes, I'm all over my notes, but the last one too. Yes, I'm all over here. You guys are speaking on celibacy, but you know, I think a lot of it's what you give your attention to. It becomes you, and it takes over you. So sometimes the mind, if you don't think about those things, so you have to put your mind on other things. So glory be to God. Awesome. I tell you, family, I love you guys, and I appreciate everything you have shared this evening. God bless. God bless.
Bless you.
Thank
bless you.
Thank you. Amen.
Bless you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
Area code 619. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Come on. There we go. Area code 609, last 41904. You're live on Let's Talk About It with myself and Pastor V.
Yes, God bless you. I enjoyed the conversation so far. It was really a blessing. And thank you for taking my call. One thing I listened to, and I totally agree with you. I don't know why there's an echo.
There's an echo, Pastor E. You got something up loud.
Go ahead.
Okay, what I totally, and I just thank God that he sent someone to address it live on radio. That is our brothers and sisters not crediting all when another person's work that the Holy Spirit has given them. That really needs to be addressed in the body of Christ. And it almost insults the audience and the people in the pews, because we have some very educated and spiritually minded people sitting in the pew. You say something, they Google, they're aware of it. And when you're bringing it from the pulpit like that, they realize some of those rules that they, and some of them been to college and know you're supposed to credit the author. And our people just won't. That it really is bad. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, a point I still want to make about the same issue is, biblically, in the Bible, God gives us that example where we see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they credited one another. If they didn't, correct, we wouldn't see the parallel of the Gospels. Some said one a little different than the other, but they would credit that. That's why you will find something similar to all four of those in the Gospels. Or if Paul said something. I mean, that's right. And so,
right,
prophetically, could the person that neglects to do that and credit the person, when they fail to do that, could they really be not fulfilling God's wish as witnessing? Because you're not witnessing that someone has done this before. So now you're creating a narrative that this is the original or the first time. And that technically is not true. Because you understand? So in a way, I think we have to pray for the body of Christ because of that failure. And they lack the possibility of God really using them powerfully to bring an authentic message that's been delivered without adding. Because in the Revelations, he tells us we're not supposed to add thing of Revelations 21 to the scriptures or anything, because we bring damnation. And so sometimes when you're adding something that God has already given another prophet or preacher to, and then you're adding it to your message, and did God tell you to add that? Uh-huh. And if not, you're right about, which you know you're right anyway, that you encourage them spiritually that you should credit the person, but you're not saying that you're adding something. It's kind of deep to me, but I mean, really.
No, it is. It is. You're touching on something that actually is deep. And I have a teaching that I want to bring forth called The Order of the Church. And it's us and the fellowship, the church, the pulpit, the ministers, the lead. I have a series that I'm going to talk about it all.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
But I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that, because first of all, we're supposed to encourage and build up one another.
Yes.
If you read Romans, I mean, everybody reads Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know, be not conformed to this world. But if it goes a little bit further, we understand that Paul taught us that we all have the same measure of faith, but we all have different functions. And in that function,
correct,
you know that you're as, and I want to preach this to somebody that didn't know this, you're more important to God than I am. Well, Pastor,
correct,
you're doing this, you have a radio station, you do this, you do this. You're still more important to him you're still more important to God than I am.
Correct.
And if you say
correct
the same thing, that you're more important, that's how we're supposed to be striving to push each other up higher, to say God loves you. God made you beautifully. He chose you. He foreknew you, and he called your name that you could be used as a vessel to tell somebody about this goodness. That the purpose of Jesus Christ is that we go forward and tell someone they can make it. The Bible says that he's not slack to his promises. He desires that we all repent. But some of us have written some people off. Some of us have given up on some people. I know you drive down the street every day, and it's some people. It's one person you see that they're done. They're not. We have to have the mindset that everybody's going to make it. But are we doing what we're supposed to do to let them know that they made it?
Amen.
I think it's back to, and I'm going to lead the other point that Pastor May was. I heard her mention something about deliverance, and because what you're preaching out there, and you may miss that point because of I said that's the flesh or the carnal part, because if it's spiritual, it's going to bring deliverance. But as ministers of the gospel, you bring it, you reexamine yourself, because it can seem to be very entertaining, it can be seen to be very inspiring, and everything. But if you miss that element of deliverance, and must ask in the kingdom of God, is it really like you said you had a question what the Lord gave you? You know, ask the Lord, was it missing? And he's going to tell you no. And you're going to ask him, how did I miss it? When did I miss it, God? And then he'll take us to that place when you know you... You missed it when you focused on Bishop Jakes. Get ready. When I told you to tell him to be prepared, that's when you.
That's right. That is so true. Woman of God, you're gonna start. I love that.
Because somebody, a pastor, was telling me, we had that, an issue with Dr. Bulger. Who it was? That pastor's comment was. And they have people in their ministry that have their doctrine. She says, my people need deliverance. That's what you were talking about tonight.
Yes.
So we ask step, are we so much in what your point was? We're bringing preaching particularity? You know, are they really preaching that? Or, you know, and all those points, are you preaching theology, whatever? But are you really preaching the revelation of what God gave you?
Yes.
Because for a different audience, because you picking up something from Bishop Jakes, you may credit him, but that might be for the Dallas region.
Correct.
And that may be
correct.
His memory, and it may not be for the people in New York. He may get a whole.
It, the people in California don't get it. It doesn't resonate with the people in California. They're like, what are you talking about? Oh, that is so awesome. Be true to what God has called you to do and what God has called you to say. And
if
he
didn't call you just to preach one message, if he did not call you to change your message, don't change it.
Don't change it.
You know, I had to learn that too, because I had one message for almost 2 years that God did not let me change, put the devil out of business. I preached that everywhere I went. He didn't want me to change it. I couldn't understand it, because I'm like, what the people, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially if my church followed me, I'm like, they didn't already heard this again. God said, don't change it. You do what I tell you to do. So everybody always want to have this wonderful, awesome, wonder speech, but hey, you got to do what thus said the Lord.
But here, I got to ask you this, though. Every time you preached it, I bet it wasn't the same.
It really and truly wasn't. And then on top of that, guess what? Every time I preach it, I help myself. How about that?
Come
I guess he said, no, you'll keep preaching until you help yourself.
Preach to yourself. Woman of God, thank you so much. We want to invite you to come back and get into this conversation. We have one more caller. Area code 832, last four, 4474. This is my brother, James Hudson, out of Houston, Texas. Good evening, my brother.
What's up, man? What's up?
What's up? Let's talk about it.
Hey, man, let's talk about it. Yeah, I know it. I know the hour has been well spent. I had a chance to listen in most of the time, so I know you're kind of going over there. But anyway, I'm just calling in and let you know, brother, listening in. I need my little spiritual connection there. And every time I can get it, I try to jump in and get me a little something that'll help me make it to the next day.
Amen, so, man. Bless you, brother.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say, really quickly, I heard the sister talking about there. You know, being around people, the influence, things that people say, things that people do, and if you're not careful, how those things will rub off on you. She said, you just stand next to somebody.
You get funky. Yeah, you will.
Well,
I said, I just stand next to him. Oh, man. I don't have to buy no cologne no more. I'm just going to find a nice smelling brother that's going to stand next to me.
There you go.
But I said that to say it is, real quickly, man. I had a friend of mine that came to stay with me for a couple of months. He was sick, and so I let him come stay with me for a couple of months, and he had this one little problem. Every other word he used, one of them little 3-4 letter words. And I was, and I wasn't accustomed to that. And I kept trying to tell him, I said, I love you like a brother, man, but you're going to have to try to do something to curse some of the words you be using, because I could tell it was just a natural thing for him. He wouldn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. He meant no harm by it. It's just
mm-hmm.
a natural.
Right.
It's just a natural. He just practiced that. And, if you keep practicing those things, like you said, it just becomes, it just becomes natural to you. You don't even know that's really what you're doing. And then, and every now and then I hear him say, my bag, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. He was trying to correct himself. But I said that to say this, even after he left, 2 or 3 weeks later, I could be around the house just doing stuff and just out of nowhere, one of them little words come out. I'm like, wait a minute, hold up, time out. I ain't never been a person that believed in using no profanity toward nobody for no reason. That's just not me, But I saw that coming from me, and I'm like, where is this coming from? I'm like, wait, am I nervous? Or people start getting older, and I kept thinking, I don't know what it was, but I could tell just from being around him, I picked up on that. And
right.
I know that's where it comes from because I had never done it before. So I know that that's why I'm like, oh, no, I know that. And, I used to tell even with my daughter, I said, if you're in a house where people speak Spanish, if you're raised in a house where they speak Spanish, you learn to speak Spanish. If you're in a house where people learn to speak English, you learn to speak English. If you grow up in a house where they're speaking ignorance all the time, well, guess what? When you grow up, you're going to be ignorant. You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm saying that just to say, and she's right about that. The people that you hang out, a lot of times we don't realize that these people that we hang out with, they influence us. But one way or the other, I'm hoping that he picked up some positive things from me, but it was no doubt in my mind that I actually picked up some negative things from him, things that I know that didn't stand well with my own spirit. But it just went to show me, see, those are not even, I may love you like a brother, but you might need to stay over there on the other side of the fence over there if that's going to affect my spirit, my relationship with God,
now
I'm communicating with people in a different way. Or I'm thinking in a different way that I know, hey, that's not me. That's not who I am. I don't want that in my spirit. Because I don't even want to think that. I don't care how frustrated I get. I don't want to ever have to use profanity to express myself to people. That's just not who I am. But I just said that because that's just what came in my spirit when I heard her saying that. She was way deeper than that because she was just standing next to me. You boy, I'm going to remember that.
But James, if anybody knew you, they knew that was a spiritual attack because you don't say nothing negative.
That's profanity.
Not anything even remotely negative.
And the most important thing, I knew it. I knew it wasn't under me. People can judge you any way you want to, but you can't lie to yourself. I do this all the time, but I knew when I heard it come out of my own mouth, wait a minute, that is not me.
I don't know where that
come from. You want to take that somewhere else. You ain't been that fool with me in the business. No, that ain't the way I even think. Those thoughts don't come to my mind. They ain't never come. Even a little thought come now. what I'm saying? No, but I'm just saying, but I knew it was from being around somebody that communicated like that. That's what he did.
Right.
And he just got relaxed with it. And then I just started getting relaxed with him. Okay, boy, all right, just what I mean. You need to cut that out. You need to cut that out rather than just saying, stop that. Don't do that. Or if you do, you're going to have to go somewhere else and do that. You're not going to be able to be here and do that because that's interrupting my spirit. It's coming into my spirit, and I feel it coming into me. It's like it's attacking on me. I'm trying to hit you. At the same time, I feel like I'm hurting myself by allowing you to be here. Because you refuse it.
That's a sermon there.
Did you feel that spirit drop?
Yeah. Well, because the Spirit of God will whip you, man. I'm saying, you know, I'm here to try to help you, but some people don't want to be helped. See, that's the whole point. If I'm trying to help
you
from being
homeless. The good point that you made, though, and hear what he said, that you have great intentions to try to help somebody, but understand that they might turn around and hurt you. And it's not always hurt you, but I'm talking about hurt you in your spirit because they will drain you. You will pick up things like that. So sometimes you do got to let people go, y'all. I know everybody said, well, we got to be like Jesus. But listen, if it comes to a point where it's between you and my spirit and my anointing and my relationship with God, I'm sorry. Only Jesus can help you then. I'm not sent to help you. So you made a good point. Go ahead, Pastor E.
No, you said enough right there. It's time that we start to understand you got to let some people go.
Yes.
It's not writing people off. It's not giving up on people. But don't you know you can't help somebody until you get help yourself?
And you can only help them.
You can only help them past the strength that you have, though. You can only help them past the see. Like, I'm a woman, so therefore, if Pastor E wants me to pick up a pair of shoes, I have that strength. But if Pastor E wants me to pick up a dresser, I don't have that strength.
I can only help
Pastor E by the strength that I have. If I ain't got that strength, I can't help you, boo. I'm sorry.
Don't ask me.
Right, and that's my point, because when you're around people and you're trying to make sure that was this one. I'm gonna say this really quick. That was this one person that I know that was really really close to you, very very close to you. I'm saying this because I'm hoping I'm helping somebody, but really really close to this young lady, and she became a minister. And when she got her ordination, I went to that service. And one of the things that she said when she was up there was that, you know, that I'm you know, making this promise to God. You know, that she said, I want to be married, and I'm going to remain, I'm going to go without having any sex or any of those type of things. Anything that's against the will of God, that's just not going to happen. I'm not going to do that. Now, I was very, very close to this girl at the time when she was saying this. And so when after she finished that, she said to me, she called me about a week or two later and said, well, you know, you ain't called me since. But I said, no, I haven't called you. I'm not going to. And let me tell you why. Because I'm not going to fool myself, and you can't fool yourself. You already know how it is when I get around you or when you're around me, right? Yeah, and we already know that. I said, now your promise to me or your desire to be with me cannot outweigh your promise to God. See what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm not going to be the one. I'm not going to be the one that's going to be crazy enough after I've sat there and heard what you said. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to be the one that's going to intervene between your relationship with you and God. And I know that that's what's going to happen if we or call ourselves hanging out together. That's just not going to work. Because that's the promise that she had made. This is the way I want to be. Now, once you make that promise to God, everybody else have to get off the ladder. You know, now she may have done, now I think maybe 4 or 5 months after that, of course, she probably started thinking, boy, I wish I hadn't made that promise.
Right,
but it's too late because you already made it. It's too late because you already made it. The words have already come out your mouth. That's
amen.
The words have already come out your mouth. And so you got to be held accountable to it. And that's when you know you actually have a fear for God, when you respect his word. You know what I'm saying? That's when you know you're, because it had just been just anybody else. They'd be like, oh, man, that's what you said. And I didn't say it. Well, let's just hang out. Ain't no big deal. But no, I sit there, I heard that. And so it's just like me. I might as well have been making it myself, because I sit there and I heard what she said. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
To lead her away from that. Yeah, to lead her away. I may enjoy your company to another. I may love you to death, but I still don't want to be the one that's going to make you go get your word to God, your promise. No matter how bad I desire to be around you, that's just not going to happen, because you have that relationship with God. See, and that's supposed to be coming for me or anybody else. And then, like I said, we're really, 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 really tight friends. And to this day, I'm just like, oh my God, look here. But hey, I was there. I can't pretend like I don't know. Like I said, you can lie to other people, dog, but you know for yourself. That's the thing about looking in the mirror at yourself. You can't lie to yourself.
Well, we thank God that you learned that lesson, and that was something that you learned through that situation. And hopefully, somebody was blessed with that. But
Oh yes, man. Come on. Come on, that's that keep it real moment. here on Let's
yeah.
Talk About
yeah,
It.
Yeah, that is keep
it real.
Right.
He kept
it
1,000 on that one, but we
no, yeah, 1,000, yes, sir. Man, bless you, James,
yeah.
man,
oh,
for tuning
bless
in,
you.
Bro.
Right. Amen. I already know that's going to cut some people, but they cut me, so there you go.
Well, when
make sure you tune into the next broadcast on us.
That's right. But when you're cutting yourself, that's okay to cut somebody up. Bless you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Amen.
We have extended 15 minutes past our time, and we want to be our diligent. We don't want to lose any of our callers. I want to take this time just to thank everyone for joining into this broadcast. We are going to keep this thing hot, live, and real, and relevant to what we're going through right now. We ain't talking about past discretions or tomorrow's discretions. We want to talk about discretions of right now, and that we can really find solutions by communicating and confessing to one another. Closing remarks, Pastor V.
Like Pastor E said, I thank God for this broadcast. I really and truly pray that our listeners did stay with us and that they were blessed by the broadcast. And starting today, the one thing that I just want you to do is just know that God believes in you. He's in love with you. It's a difference when a person loves you versus they're in love with you. When they're in love with you, that means that they're willing to give you their all. That means that they're willing to sacrifice for you. And that's the kind of God that you serve, that he's giving you his all and he is sacrificing, he's sacrificing for you. There's no mistake that you've made. There's no sin too great that he won't forgive you for and that he won't be there for you. So right now, if you have guilt and shame over your life, if you have unforgiveness of yourself in your life, we cast that out right now in the name of Jesus and say at this point you are now free, you are healed, and you are delivered to receive the blessings, free. The anointing, the love from God. Receive it. And then what you can't receive, say, God, please teach me how. Teach me how to accept your love. Teach me how to accept this. I want it, but I don't know how. And guess what? He will teach you, men and women, God.
Yes,
God,
he will.
He did it for me. I know he'll do it for you.
Ooh, and he did it for me, and he'll do it for you. Family, God bless you guys. Thank you so much. I want you to know this right now, that in just collaboration with Pastor V, God chose you. God particularly called your name. God knew you before the foundation of the world. But you have to now know what God knows. You have to now see what God saw. You have to now hear what God has heard about you. Oh, yeah, forget all the stuff that the people in this world have said. Forget the stuff you've even said about yourself, and get into a relationship with God that you can truly hear the foundation. You can really hear the revelation. And watch this. You can now go to a level of understanding that you'll never, ever be the same. Believe in yourself. Convince yourself. Trust in yourself. And most importantly, love on yourself. Join us next month as we do our biweekly broadcast here on the Now Network. Every second or biweekly Friday, Let's Talk About It with myself and Pastor V. God bless you guys. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated. But most of all, beautifully made by God. Yeah, family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.